We're on now. Sound coming through?
Excellent. All right. So I'm going to give a hopefully brief update on FOMS. We had FOMS last week. FOMS stands for Foundations of Open Media Software. We had Thursday and Friday of last week meeting of about 25 or some hackers. They're all on this picture. I'm going to give a quick summary of what we've been up to and what the outcome was. So FOMS is a meeting place for open media software developers. We address key issues in open media software, in particular what relates to Linux, which of course is natural because we're so close to LCA. And there's also a little bit of coding time. I wouldn't really call it just coding time. It's mostly design time. People sit together, discuss issues, and design solutions, which is really what this is about. Coding you can do in your own time, mostly. But actually addressing problems and solving them, that's what FOMS is there for, to get the people in the same room. And you would be amazed about how quickly problems get solved when people are sitting together in the same room, things that would otherwise take months to discuss online or over email. So we had some professional attendees that paid for being there, which of course helps us run the conference, the workshop. Anu from BBC, who is going to give a presentation later. Charles McCarthy-Neville from Opera. He said he might make it to the conference, but maybe not. Jean-Marc Valin from Cyro. He's not here because they've just recently had a baby, so he's going to have to be home for that. But he made time to come to FOMS, which shows you how important he thinks FOMS is. Martin Lubonski from CSIRO as well, Mikko Lepanen from Nokia, and Robert Glidden from, is that right? Yeah, from Sun, who is not with us anymore this week. He had to go back, and I think he's gone to another conference. We've also had quite a lot of hobbyists, and these are the key people really, key developers of a lot of the projects. I had a quick hack on these slides this morning, so do not, the order of this means nothing, it's just really random. I've just grouped the groups a little bit to show where there was a big focus. SIF Anadex had a very big focus, Linux Audio had a very big focus, and then we had a few people from community groups and user groups there, which is also really important for us to get input from people who actually use the technology and can tell us what's wrong with it. So we were very lucky this year to, for example, have Christopher Montgomery there, which is Monty, from SIF. Nobody really, he doesn't really like being called Christopher, so Monty is better. Quite a few others of the core SIF community is great. Sponsors, we've been given money from Mozilla Foundation and from Google to fly in people to the workshop. Google and Siegel Studios money, Siegel Studios is Andre Pan, has helped us to keep people fed, which is very important at a conference like that. So looking back at, we've had FOMS for the first time last year in 2007, and we had set ourselves some community goals. This year, looking back at the achievements from last year, we were quite amazed about how many things we actually did achieve of the list that we set ourselves. These are some of the key things. We talked about library that should be commonly used to implement awk support in applications, and that's LibOxy. This is now commonly the library that we recommend to use. LibOcPlay has been mostly developed over the last year. It's quite amazing the progress that LibOcPlay has made. It's now the core, quite a mature library, and it's being used in Firefox 3 point whatever for providing OcTheora and Vorbis support. Also, we don't know which number, right? 3.x. to provide Octiora Vobis support and also to support the head, the W3C and what working groups new HTML5 video tag. Pulse Audio has seen a massive amount of work over the last year and has now been adopted by Fedora as the key API, audio API. And same will happen in Ubuntu, so that's really, really good news that we get some standardization in that space. A new PCM audio API has been defined and the library is being developed. That's called LibSydney, obviously an outcome of the location of last year's FOMS. MetaVidWiki is a video wiki that Michael Dale at the back here has developed for MediaWiki, and it may possibly be adopted by Wikipedia. It's great to see that because it's implementing lots of the ideas of Anadex, and it's providing native and really awesome support for Octiora Vobis into content management systems in general. There's an underlying MV embed library, I would call it, that can be used by other content management systems as well, and we're suggesting the use of that particular set of code for content management systems. We were talking last year about a competitive free next generation video codec, and in fact, Jirac is really what we are all after. So Jirac is now approaching 1.0, and that's a really awesome achievement. Congratulations to the Jirac guys. LibSpeaks now offers a BSD license-based example rate converter. So that's also really good achievement because we've in particular seen ALSA and other low-level libraries been using sample rate conversion of really poor quality. But what LibSpeaks now offers as a BSD licensed sample rate conversion is really acceptable quality, and so it's highly recommended to use that in other applications as well. So lots of awesome outcomes. Oh, I'm being told this year's word is not awesome. We're going in the forward in the ABC. This year's word is brilliant. I'm going to have to get used to that. Whoops. Is that all I have? No. There's some misordering in the slides. I don't know how that happened. So this year's community goals, 2008, we had breakout groups, these seven different breakout groups, looking into patents, into RTP streaming for open codecs, into video and audio metadata, open web video technology, and tool support for open media software. Then again, the audio API, PCM audio API, and as a last one, next generation container formats. So from these seven breakout groups, we had a lot of outcomes as short-term goals. Out of the patent group, we don't really have short-term goals, but there was a large analysis of how to deal with this, with the whole fight around patents. And it's really all about documenting. So document, document, document. Put everything on record, because only when it's on record it will be acceptable in court or in any other means from established companies who have to deal with patents. Essentially, it's all about building up our own virtual, well, patent pool. It's not a patent pool, but it's a similar thing. It's probably better than a patent pool because it's actual specifications of actual existing software, of things that work. And so if we've documented everything we've done, we can be compared to patents, and therefore it's much easier to stand up. Publish why you think you're unencumbered. So if you've done some work, if you've actually looked at other patents and stuff, write that down as well. Document everything. And then, of course, build up a body of allies and supporters, people that think you've done great work and you've done all your homework, and that say, okay, we really believe that this is patent unencumbered work. This is, of course, all in the background of the whole fight that's recently happened around Octiora and a take-up of Octiora in the W3C for the new HTML5 standards. We'll see what's going to happen in there. I'm sure there is some progress this year. From the RTP RTSP streaming group, we have as a short-term goal the aim to develop a specification of Dirac over RTP. I believe this is also a goal that the Dirac guys have themselves, so I think that we're very much aligned there. The metadata group, video metadata, did a bit of an analysis of other existing metadata formats. When I say other, I mean apart from CMML, which was a core topic in the metadata group because there were so many Anadex developers around. So we found that many metadata formats exist, but we need to design metadata formats so they can be multiplexed into binary media files. So looking at metadata completely separate to looking at binary codec formats is just not doesn't give us a full solution, because in order to hand over a media object that knows about itself, that has its own information, its own metadata, you really have to multiplex it into the file. So you have to come up with a format that actually multiplexes into a file easily. And many of the existing metadata formats just completely ignore that fact, that requirement. And so we wanted to make sure people understand this. We also agreed that the OCR recommendation for metadata and subtitles is CMML. That doesn't mean that CMML is finished. We need to improve the design of CMML further. We also discussed the creation of a skeleton description format, also probably in XML, separate to CMML, so that we can describe dependencies between tracks, which is a sort of a format to author new Oxiora and annotation files. And this hasn't really existed before, so this is something we need to think about. In the tool support group, we decided that, yes, open source tools for open codecs aren't sufficient yet. In particular, the lack of a really good video editor, open source video editor, was one of the key points that the community groups raised. So we agreed that we need to talk to people to find out what applications are required and then prioritize them. Then maybe a spin-off, some Google Summer of Code projects or something around that to attract more people into the space, because that's also one of the key issues, the key problems we have, just not enough developers in the open media space. One low-hanging fruit in the tool support is probably the development of FFmpeg2 Dirac based on the FFmpeg2 Theora code base. That can't be all that difficult because most of the key components are around. Just need somebody to actually sit down and do it. Then we encourage the development of GUI wrappers to FFmpeg2 Theora for major operating systems. That question mark comes out of the wiki. Sorry, that's a edit problem. And we encourage the development of a browser extension for FFmpeg2 Theora for hosting sites, such that the transcoding can be done client-side. So it's a browser plugin that goes in your browser, but it does transcoding from, say, MPEG-4 to Theora on the fly as you upload a video. It uses the resources on your local computer to do so, and it's a really useful tool that just doesn't exist yet. Any additions here anywhere from forms people, please interrupt me. The web video group had a very large focus on, of course, the HTML5 standardization issues and the use of a baseline codec in there. So we want to encourage the W3C to undertake a patent search on Octiora and put out a call to patent holders to speak up now so that we can actually address the problem, because companies like Apple and Nokia have been raising issues with Octiora around, saying, well, it's not proven that there are no patents around that. In fact, we believe that it's highly likely that Octiora infringes on patents. But nobody's actually done the homework and sat down and analyzed that. Now, as if we do not have enough resources to actually undertake such a patent search. And so we encourage the W3C as an independent organization to undertake such a patent search. Then we talked about JavaScript APIs for video on the web. And there's a lot of different ones. So we want to research the JavaScript API inconsistencies and provide feedback to what WG and, of course, also to the W3C as input to the HTML5 standard. And we want to encourage the adoption of MV Embed into content management systems, as I mentioned before, because that'll give content management systems a uniform means of dealing with Auth0ra, something that's not really existed before. The PCM Audio API group had a very focused discussion around LibSydney. And so there's two main goals come out of that group. Is to complete the design of LibSydney, the PCM Audio API, and to finish a first full implementation of LibSydney. Stefan Westfeld from Beast, he's really quite interested in this, and he said he will give it a shot this week at LCA. I look forward to this. This will be a really great achievement if we can get that done by next year's forms. And the last breakout group that we had was a big discussion around next generation container formats. Of course, we looked at existing formats, in particular Ogg, and there are some proposed improvements to Ogg that are not documented yet. So we need to start a documentation on those. And another key idea was to extract the Bitpacker out of libog to avoid the continuing perception that people have that the SIF codecs can only be used within Ogg, which just simply isn't true. It's only a matter of the way that the libraries are currently built. So we are aiming to fix this issue. Sorry? It's all good. Apart from these short-term goals, and when I say short-term goals, I mean next year's forms. We've also set ourselves some more long-term goals. We want to just generally create more implementations to encourage the creation of more implementations for Vorbis and Theora over RTP, because that space hasn't really seen that much focus. We want to also extend open media, just generally open media tool support for transcoding, editing, and hosting. And we would like to see work towards best practices to do a platform-independent audio handling. And that's probably mostly a matter of, first of all, a best practices has to develop, and then it has to be documented. So we believe that we'll see that happening over the next few years, but currently it's just really difficult to recommend the best way to do audio on, in particular on Linux, but also in more generally seen across platforms for application developers. And now I've got to go back to my last slide. I don't know why it slipped so early. This is my wrap-up slide. So I'd just like to say that I was really stoked, and it's really great that in FOMS, all these attendees are really the rock stars in the multimedia field, and it's really great to see these people come together and discuss core issues, address them, fix them. It's awesome. Holding FOMS pre-LCA is very helpful to gain a better attendance, because LCA helps us fly people in by sponsoring some of the speakers for LCA, which are then also attendees for FOMS. And that's a really great, what's it called, synergy between the two conferences. So we look forward to hopefully having a synergy like that with other conferences as well. We're not focused to have FOMS next to LCA. That's just the way it's worked out. We'd be quite happy to encourage people to organize FOMS in Europe, in America, somewhere close to another Linux conference. And that would be really awesome, because it's just really difficult for people to get to a conference, to get together generally, and if they don't have to travel as far, that helps. Lots of awesome work originates at FOMS. Yeah, FOMS rocks. So it was really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I think everyone else there enjoyed it as well and got a lot out of it. Any questions? Yes.
You mentioned you live in Sydney, the PCM
audio API. Yes.
I'm just wondering how that fits in, what the vision for that is, and also kind of related question, how all of this stuff is, whether or not you guys touched on the whole Jack thing, and I noticed that you had one else, the guy there.
Sorry, I'm just looking around if Leonard is here, because he'd be much better replying to this.
So I guess, you know, how is LibSydney actually relating to that, and also where does Jack fit into your picture of where audio is heading?
Conrad, do you want to give an answer? Mikko. Perfect.
Yeah, for LibSydney. So LibSydney is... LibSydney is basically targeted towards the application developers also, which is currently the main PCM API on Linux, is first of all Linux only, and very heavily directed to exposing hardware sound card capabilities, whereas LibSydney is for PCM IO API, so it's not tied to a certain hardware, certain implementation, or even certain software backend. So it is targeted to be the native Pulse Audio API, but it already currently includes backends on top of Plain Alsa, and also Windows backends and so on are planned. And the API is carefully designed so that it's not depending on any specific backend features, so that it is implementable everywhere. Then about the question about Jack, there is already ongoing integration between Pulse Audio and Jack. Jack is very important part of the professional audio world, but it's not kind of there is, as far as I know, very good agreement on what Pulse Audio and Jack separately provide to the current multimedia frameworks. So they actually don't overlap at all. And the current track on how to integrate them is to have Jack run as a Pulse Audio module. And that's actually being developed by the Jack developers.
So getting your LibSydney working with Jack hypothetically, you'd actually do that through this Pulse Audio thing rather than having a Jack backend on LibSydney then?
The goals of Jack, which I'm not an expert on actually on professional audio, but as far as I've understood, they are slightly separate from what LibSydney, kind of the Jack API is actually already very good and widely used for the specific purposes. The problem is that it is not the most easiest of use, and it assumes that all the applications behave well and so on, whereas LibSydney is kind of one of the key design goals is that it's very difficult to write or get it wrong. So it's more of a for dummies type of thing.
So it's basically a parallel track in a way. It's kind of to try and get away from applications having a dependency direct, say having to directly program ALSA in a way, to sort of to layer on top of that side of things at this stage.
Yes, certainly.
And ALSA is only Linux, so LibSydney is also aimed to be platform independent. It could work on OS X, on Windows, so from that point of view, for application developers. More questions?
On the HTML5 thing,
yes?
The video, I haven't followed it too closely, but the impression I got was that the argument against Fiora in HTML5 was based on things like there's just a lack of content out there, and also
So codec quality wasn't really the key issue why the W3C took Octiora out of the base out of the specification in HTML5 as a baseline codec. You're saying it's a quality of Octiora, and what was your other point? Uptake. Yes, those are side issues. They sort of feed into the problem, but they are not. They weren't the reason, the fundamental reason why Octiora was pulled. The fundamental reason was that the larger browser vendors, Apple and Nokia in particular, were talking about the problem of providing Octiora support in a unclear situation of patents. Of patent trolls, essentially.
The decision for them to whether or not to include OAuth support, right? On the downside, they expose themselves to the risk of patents, all right? But the potential upside is that if there's a lot of great quality OAuth content out there, then you'd want to be able to show it. So the thing is that there is no compelling upside story for them. Like, there isn't a lot of OAuth content out there. Like, this is all.
That wasn't really an issue. The number of content out there is not an issue. I attended the W3C video workshop in December last year, and we demonstrated Octiora support inside browsers. Chris Double from Mozilla demonstrated it, and Michael Dale from MetaV demonstrated it, and people had no issues with the quality of Octiora video. It's comparable to MPEG-4 video. The reasons that have been brought up, where there's quite an old comparison that exists between Octiora video, MPEG-4, was it H.264, and a few other codecs. That there's an online thing that got published where Octiora got quite a good bashing. But the problem is that used a really old library, so the quality of the video that's published on there was really poor. But that's actually not the real quality of Octiora video. So there's a lot of FUD going around there with the quality, with the uptake. Uptake also isn't one of those bigger things. Archive.org is using Octiora. Wikipedia is using Octiora. There's quite a few large organizations that are supporting it and that are actually using it. So uptake is also just being used as a means of spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So those aren't the real issues for the companies, and neither Apple nor Nokia have ever mentioned that being an issue for them. The aim for the W3C really is to get a royalty-free codec as a baseline codec into HTML5, and they need agreement from all browser vendors, and that includes Apple and Microsoft and a few others, and that just wasn't possible to get that agreement. They were not willing to take on the additional patent risk, so now that issue has to be addressed, and the W3C, in the meeting in December that I attended, seemed to indicate that they want to address that risk. They want to see what's out there. If Octiora is not acceptable, maybe we can find another codec. And in fact, the Dirac codec is another option. Dirac, also being a next-generation quality codec, higher quality than Octiora, would address some of the other issues that you're mentioning. But really, the core issue is the patents.
To address your point about existing content, the history of what we do have on the web, which is essentially proprietary plugins and Flash, people are willing to transcode once there is client support. Flash, there was no Flash video until 3 or 4 years ago at all, and now it's dominant everywhere. If we get this support into the browsers, the content will appear very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So that isn't the issue. It's been very clear historically that people are willing to make the video available in whatever format is most appropriate.
Yep. Very true.
Is there a time limit on when the HTML5 spec will be completed?
It's a very good question. Is there a time limit on when the HTML5 standard is completed?
If the video format isn't sorted out, would they just drop video and
So let's assume, first of all, there was a deadline for HTML5, which there is a what working group has set themselves a deadline, but that doesn't mean that that's the same deadline that the W3C will use in order to publish HTML5. And in the end, it will be the W3C who will publish it. So there may well be another year or two before we see the standard coming out, maybe even longer. And there may well be implementations of HTML5 out there by Mozilla and other companies that implement the standard before the standard gets ratified. So let's assume there was a deadline. And the group of browser vendors can't agree on a baseline codec. Then I think the most likely outcome will be that we just don't see a baseline codec mentioned in the spec at all. And it's a matter of market forces deciding which baseline codec will be used. That's not a very attractive outcome to any of the browser vendors, so hopefully we won't see that happen. For obvious reasons, for the interoperability reason. Okay? More questions? Maybe we won't have time for you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the danger of someone trying to basically put in place a de facto standard, as we've had over the years with Microsoft. I was recently at Barcamp in Auckland. Rob O'Callaghan, who works for Mozilla, is based in Auckland. He gave a demo of Og Vorbis playback in Firefox and doing very cool SVG and 3D effects programmatically within Firefox. It was so damn sexy. You know, this is really cool shit. We get that out there, we can make it a de facto standard.
I agree with the first thing. We should get it out there. I'm not sure that we'll necessarily enforce it as a de facto standard, because in the end, what has the largest uptake on the internet with browsers is IEEE. There's just no disputing that. And whatever Microsoft will do, and nobody has any clue what Microsoft will do, because Microsoft is not being involved at this moment in HTML5. That will be the standard. So the de facto standard. Actually, when it comes to video codecs, the current de facto standard is Flash. That's just simply what it is. And if we can't agree on a baseline codec in a HTML5 standard, my personal opinion is that just will mean that Flash will continue to be the de facto standard. But Flash is so much more than just video codec, so nobody really wants to have that, because you get this whole other stuff around Flash that you don't really want from a HTML perspective. So let's just wait and see what happens this year. There's lots of people thinking about this, lots of good minds, brilliant minds addressing this issue, and I think we'll see a lot of progress this year. More questions? I think that was some good finishing words. Thanks very much.